This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Jaywin Gonsalves of New Hope East Hawaii. In this message entitled, Don't Forget to Remember, Pastor Jaywin reminds us that not only must we adhere to authority, but we, even when it is challenging, must respect the authority that God has put in place. This message was delivered on May 21st, 2017. Here now is Pastor Jaywin.
You know, we're continuing on in this series. In this series, it's called Don't Forget to Remember, okay? And in this series, what we're doing is we're taking the time and we're honoring people. And I believe, you know, some people say, well, how are you going to honor people? Aren't you guys supposed to be honoring God? But I've come and, you know, and I sat, and every time these things come up, I'd always go back and I sit down with the Lord and I'm like, Lord, you know, aren't we just supposed to be honoring you? And he says, you know, by honoring me, you reveal me to people. I said, okay, Lord, and that's what we're doing. And last week, it was so wonderful that we got to honor our mothers. Yeah. We got to honor our mothers, and this week, what we're doing is we're taking the time out to honor our police officers, our firefighters, all those who protect us. Those who are in authority. You know, and for me, that was one of my biggest, strongest, hardest areas that I had to work on. And I will definitely go into it later and talk about it. But I have a really good friend of mine who I asked to share some things. If you guys could welcome John Brisky, please. That's the stop. This here is Lieutenant John Brisky. Yeah? Anytime that there is a subject that is in this kind of area, yeah? This is the place where I go. This is my source of information, right? First and foremost, it's the Bible, but then I come to this guy because he knows both, right? He knows both. He knows the Bible and he knows the secular part. So I'm like, John, can we do lunch? So he knows already,
I know already,
right?
When that happens.
He knows already.
He's got
it's
something
on, right?
In store for me.
He knows it's on. And so, but I'm smart. I check with Mrs. Brisky because she scares me, right? So I check with her first. I check with Mrs. Brisky. And then I go ahead and I ask John. So I had this question, okay, because I believe it's important. And I believe, you know, in today's day and age, if we don't talk about these things here, it'll never be spoken about. You know, we have social media, television, all of these different things, and they say and do whatever they want. And nobody cares. It's freedom of speech, they say. So I said, you know, I wanted to know for myself, and I also wanted them to share this because it is important for me to know, and I believe it's important for you to know, and I think it's important that I ask him so he can think about it. Amen? So the question was this. How does being a Christian in a role of authority affect being in authority, and how does it play out in your daily life? So I'll give it to John.
All right. Thank you. He likes to put me on the spot, this guy. I have to write things down. I can't just free flow like others up here. You know, these last few weeks, we've been talking about people that we honor in our community, teachers. You know, last week was mothers. I think there's an important group that we don't want to leave out, okay? And that's our pastor and his assistant pastors. Can we give them a big hand? You know, they do so much for us every day. You know, every Sunday they're here early, they're here late. But throughout the week, they're praying for us. They're here for each and every one of us. And they have a very hard job. So we need to honor them also so that their cup can be filled and they can feel good about what they're doing. And we really respect and appreciate all the hard work you guys do. So getting back to the question, what does it mean to be in a position of authority as a Christian? You know, that's actually a really hard question because we live in a world full of scandals, tarnishing people that have authority, politicians, business leaders, and yes, even police officers fall, stumble, and do bad things that give them a bad name. This makes it even harder for those in that profession to be seen as doing good. There's a movie I saw years ago. You probably will probably remember this line. It says, "With great power comes great responsibility." Anyone remember that movie? It's Spider-Man. Yeah, it was one of my favorite movies. And that's one of my favorite lines in the movie, okay? With great power comes great responsibility, because it's so true. And authority is power. This means as a Christian, I have to do everything better than the next person. I'm under pressure to live up to the standards of being a Christian. I have authority, and I must use that authority in accordance with man's law as well as God's. It's a balancing act, a tightrope. God places a high value on authority because he's the one who created it. The Bible says that all authority comes from and originates with God. So how does that affect how I do my job? First off, I love my job. I love being a cop, and I'm proud of it. But I don't think I chose this profession. I think God chose it for me. God works through law enforcement, through first responders every day. Even the most experienced first responder will dread working a violent automobile accident. News footage can't adequately portray the utter despair and anguish witnessed when a first responder has to tell the parents of a teenager their son or daughter died in an accident. Nothing can prepare someone for the smells experienced when a drug user's body is found 3 days after overdosing, or an elderly person dies in their home alone. Even in a small town like Hilo, first responders see and experience things that law-abiding members of their community can't or don't want to imagine. There's a reason why only a select few are chosen to enter these professions. Most people just aren't up to the task. Experiencing the dark side of humanity takes a toll on people. For a few, it manifests itself and changes how they look at the world. That's why, as first responders, we have to feed and nurture our faith. It will so that the faith will get stronger. And it is that faith that allows all of us to complete the tasks that not a human dispatcher dispatched us to, but the places that God has dispatched us to. How I do my job is simple. I've made a simple test for myself that has never, ever let me down. When I go anywhere and speak to anyone, I simply tell myself, how would I speak to my mom, my dad, my sister, or my brother? And that's how I converse with that person. If you treat people with respect and talk to them with decency, they respond positively. I have to emulate Christ by my character and my treatment of others. The Christian first responder should not be frustrated and should never lose sight of what is right and what is moral. They have the most powerful tool that there is. That tool is prayer, and the armor they have is from God. Thank you.
Thank you so much. This is so wonderful. Thank you. Amen. Everybody close up. Let's go. You know, I know this guy personally. If you guys don't know him, okay, those are real characteristics and real traits. I mean, this is something, you know, and I will speak about it, and this is something that I don't like to speak about, but it's truth, and it glorifies God. In my previous life, I was on the total opposite end of the spectrum from Mr. Brisky. When I came into this church in 2009, the beginning of 2010, at the time, Mr. Brisky was an internal affairs officer, okay? He used to have this green Jeep. Because I was on the other end of the spectrum, I knew what car everybody had, right? You gotta pay attention, right? And so I was starting to come. I was already in trouble. I was actually on my way into prison. And I was very, very weary of police officers, any type of authority. I mean, they were just the total enemy to me, right? When you're in that type of life, that's the enemy. And so one day, I went to a fishing tournament, Tokunaga's fishing tournament. So I missed church one Sunday, and the next week was the Toys for Tots motorcycle run. So I still remember this really clearly. So I missed 2 weeks in a row. Mind you, I'm on like a $125,000 bail at the time, okay? And so Mr. Brisky shows up at my house. And I'm thinking like, oh no, what did I do? Like, what's come up now that this guy is at my house? And then I'm thinking like, oh no, and he go to our church, you know, and this guy is coming to my house. And he came by and he said, are you okay? And I said, yeah. I'm thinking like, oh my God, I cannot outrun this guy. He looks in pretty good shape, right? So he's like, everything okay? I'm like, yeah, everything's okay. You know, he's like, you know, I just never see you the last couple of weeks. I was just checking if you was okay. That was the extent of my conversation with Mr. Brisky. And I never spoke to him in church. I only used to see him, you know, see him around. I was always thinking like, oh, okay, right on. After he left, I was thinking, oh, right on. He don't know my past, so he don't know what kind of trouble I in, you know? And so as I was sitting in prison, you know, we were talking about checking on the brothers and all these things, and I remember telling one of these guys as we were studying, you know, I got to know the Lord in prison, and I said, man, I remember one time, bro, this cop, man, he's kind of a big shot guy, but he came for check on me, you know, and they were like, for real? I said, but for real, he came, and that was in the early part of my prison sentence, and that thing stuck with me throughout my whole time, because I was thinking, like, what kind of guy does that, you know, like, what kind of guy, who? I even asked him one time recently. I said, hey, John, you want to go to lunch? And he's like, yeah, sure. I said, you like go someplace where you got to hide? You're not shame eat with me, right? You know? And he's like, nah, no big deal. It's okay, you know? It's no problem, you know? And that speaks for his character. So the things that he says, he's never spoken to me like I was a criminal. He's never treated me like a criminal. He's always spoken to me like a brother. He's treated me like a brother. So I can attest to the things that he say, that they are true. So let's give him a hand, please. So, in the Bible, okay, in the Bible, it has specific directions and instructions. When it comes to authorities, when it comes to government officials, they are specific, clear, and concise. If it's not in the Bible, I mean, I'm just speaking my own words. But according to the Bible, he tells us how we should treat authority, how we should be towards authority. And mind you, when he's teaching me these things, I'm sitting in prison because I had a problem with authority. And so the Lord was getting me prepared to be back in society. And as he was getting me prepared, he brought this to my heart. He says, okay, so you do okay. You know, you do okay. You're starting to read and follow rules and all of these things. He says, but there's things that I want to take you to the next level so you can serve me better. And that's on the first point. You don't have it in your thing, but you can write it down in your notes. It says, we must submit to our governing authority. Now, imagine this. I already get hard time, okay? I already get hard time, and he's telling me that I have to submit to governing authority. And now, this brings back what we talked about last week. And he told me, when I was speaking last week, he talked about my mom. And we talked about my mom, and he says, how are you going to serve me if you cannot serve your mom? And he says, how are you going to submit to me, a God who you have not seen, when you cannot submit to an authority which you see? In Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 6, it says this. Let every soul, when he says every, he's talking about every, okay? He said every. That means everybody. He says, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, is there for a reason. Right, Pastor Scott? Based on what he just said, okay? He said, Therefore, because of what I just said, that every authority has been appointed by me, he says, therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. And those who resist will bring judgment on themselves, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same, for he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers attending. So now, that was long, yeah? It's like, okay, what does that mean? You guys, I'm going to basically put him in layman's term or pigeon. You guys, always ask here, how many of you, you guys driving in your car and the cop pull up behind you and you say, oh, your cop following me. And the worst part is, it got to be John. I can see John doing that. It's got to be. You know what's so funny? You guys probably never did even get a speeding ticket before. And you guys driving like, oh my God, you're a cop behind me. Right? And so he says, if you do not want to be afraid of these authorities, he said, do what? Do what is right. Right? That's what he told me. And that was so profound for me. And it's so simple, yeah? I was like, man, you know, these cops, they do this and they do that. They do this and they do that. And he goes, well, if you don't want to be afraid of authority, do what is right, he said, right? And then he goes on to say, he says, all of these ordinances, these things that are in place, are put in place by me. And so you start to think like, huh, what about that crooked bugger over there? Well, him too. And what about that guy? And he says, well, and him too. And what about this person? Every single one. And he says, and you are to submit to him as unto the Lord. Okay? And so I was like, oh, Lord, that's one hard saying, you know? I was thinking, this thing is so hard. Being in a culture, in my culture where I was, you guys will never understand this, but in the culture that I was, the cops are the enemy. If you speak to, associate, or affiliate with any of them, that makes you weak and unacceptable. So now the Lord is working with me. Oh, Auntie, you know you're laughing, huh? and so it makes you weak and unacceptable. That was the culture. But that is where I had to learn, because that was the proving grounds. You know, I had to go against the norm. And I had to submit to authority. I said, okay, Lord, if that's what we're going to do, that's what we're going to do. So anything that they told me to do, even if I wasn't going to be found out or not, even when they wasn't looking, I would try my best to follow all of the rules. And in that, I felt really good. Like, I was never worried about nothing. I was never paranoid. I could have got away with stuff that I would have made me a little bit more comfortable. But I said, you know what? We're going to follow the rules. We're going to submit to authority because, Lord, that's what you want. And I was thinking, right on. From here on out, everything is going to be so much easier. Because, I mean, the people who were in authority over me, they kind of liked me now because I wasn't a knucklehead, right? So I was listening to the rules. I was like, right on. And then he put something else in the way, okay? I like read 1 Peter 2:13 first, before I go on. It says this, therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king is supreme or to the governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, yet not using your liberty as a cloak for vice, but a bondservant of God. Okay, I just like to explain this before I move on. What he was saying was, and this is, one was Paul and one was Peter, okay? Both of these guys, they had two different aspects of the way they did things. Paul was like this total grace fanatic. Peter was kind of a little bit more legalistic, okay? But when Peter, when he was talking, he talks about your freedom, okay? And what he's saying right here at the end, he says, as free, not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God. So when he says this, He says, now, if you decided not to be obedient to authority, okay, that doesn't mean that you're not saved. That's not what he's saying. He says, you have the liberty to do so. He says, but don't use your liberty as an excuse to disobey authority. Okay? So he's saying, just because you have the freedom to do so, he says, don't do that, because that would make us not in the will of God. Amen? So now, I get to this part where I can submit. Okay? I get to this part where I had no problem submitting. I never care what my peers thought about me. I was pretty much all out for Jesus. I said, you know what? This is the life I'm going. This is the life I'm going to live. This is what I'm going to do, because you know what, Lord? I'm going to do what is pleasing to you. And he says, very good. It's not like Pastor Aaron, very good. And so I said, right on. You know, so I'm thinking this is, you know, free and clear on the way out already. So he brings up the next point. The next point, it says that we must give honor to our governing authorities. Now, there's a difference. There's submission and there's giving honor, okay? And so now, this is a hard thing for do, okay? Because it's easy for just do what you say, leave me alone. You leave me alone, I do what I do, I don't see you, you don't see me, we're good, right? But now he says, not only must I be submissive, but I must honor them. Wow. Just when I thought I was making progress. And I'm thinking like, Lord, why I gotta honor them? Because some of them, you know, they're just so, man. And he says, you know, if you cannot honor these guys, how are you gonna honor me? And I said, you're gonna put that one on me again. That's getting stale already, you know, like you keep using the same thing, right? But see, what he was showing me and what he was building me up to do was that if I could honor people who were the least of these in my culture, the cops was the enemy, they were the bad guys in the eyes of the culture that I was. And the Lord took that and he changed my whole perspective. He changed my whole perspective on who they was, what they did, and why. And then what he started to do was he started to break my heart for the things that were going on. And still to this day, he still breaks my heart in ways that show me what our police officers do, what our paramedics do, what our firemen do, what our government does. You know, and that's why I try as much as I can. I do not speak evil of our governing authorities. I do not speak bad about our presidents. Even if I don't agree with the things that they are doing or the way the things that we are doing, because it says that all governing authorities were put in position by our God. And for that reason, we must submit to them and we must honor them. And in these two verses that we read, this is the ending part. Okay, this is the ending part of those verses, and this is what they say in Romans 13:7. It says, render, therefore, to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs are due, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Well, geez, what does that mean? You remember one time when Jesus, he came in, and they said, hey, you know that guy Jesus, bro, he don't pay tax, that bugger. And so they said, hey, what, you going to pay tax to these guys? You know, all his disciples is kind of pumping him up. Well, you going to pay tax to these guys? But they're the Romans, bro. This is the guys that came in and take our spot. And Jesus said, well, we render to Caesar what is Caesar's, right? You give to Caesar what is Caesar's. You give to God what is God. And he said this, you honor to whom honor is due. Regardless of the object receiving the honor, I believe it is a command from God, and we do it because God called us to do. Amen? In 1 Peter, this is the ending parts of those, yeah? 2:17. It says, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. We don't want king, but this is like the government, right? He says to give honor to the king. And the funny part was, you remember a long time ago, before, if you guys following us in the Bible, back in the day, it said this, okay, in the Old Testament, he said, we don't like no king but you, God. God, no, we don't like no king but you. You know how they get all religious. Say, oh, God, no, we don't need one. Hello? Okay, perfect. So he said, they got all religious. God, we don't need one king. We just like you, Lord. And then after, remember when they had the judge, they was like, oh, we like one king. Yeah? And he said, if you guys get one king, he's going to tax you. He's going to tax all your stuff. He's going to tax your land. He's going to treat you guys real bad. You guys sure you guys like one king? And they was like, yeah. Right? You say all of that. You would think they'll be like, oh, nah, we're just going to stay with you, God. But instead, they rejected, right? They rejected the judge. And the judge, he was so hurt, right? He was like, oh, man, they don't like me. They like one king. And God said this. He said, they did not reject you. They rejected me. And it's the same instance here. When we decide that we're going to say, I don't like submit to the authority because I know that guy. And he did me dirty before and I don't like him. And I know his past, and I know his history, and I seen what he did to me before, and I know like nothing for do with him. I can submit to God, but I'm not going to submit to this person. Well, he says, when you do that, you are rejecting God. And it's funny because nowadays we do it so casually. Yeah? We put them on our Instagram, and we put them on our Facebook, and we put them on Snapchat and Twitter and all these things, and we speak and we say whatever we like. Misunderstanding what we're doing. And now you are accountable and you are aware. And then you say, well, I don't know. I don't believe that, you know, if it's bad authority, I don't think so. Well, let's look in the Bible. Remember Daniel. Daniel had three friends, okay? And what they were supposed to do was, they were not supposed to bow down and worship at a certain time. And this guy went in sneaky. To Nebuchadnezzar, yeah, it was an evil king. He was an evil bugger, okay? It was from the Babylons. So they went in, they went go, and they went badmouth and do all of these things, and they got them to sign this decree. And so after they signed this decree, they continued to do it because it was right unto the Lord. But when they came in front of the king, they never badmouthed the king. They never speak evil of the king. The way they approach was always good. I have a friend, his name is Joseph. He was one of Israel's 12 children, okay? He got sold off into slavery, into Potiphar's house. He treated his master with honor. And because of that, the Lord advanced him. They put him in jail. He treated the authority with honor, and they advanced him. He was under Pharaoh, who was evil. He treated them with honor. And it advanced not only him, but it advanced Israel and also the kingdom of God. It's funny because even our Lord Jesus Christ, he submitted to the authorities and let himself be crucified when he did not have to. He did these things because they were honoring and pleasing to God. And there's always this comparison from lesser to greater. Jesus Christ was this perfect man who did not deserve the things that he had done to him. He, it says, was without sin, sinless. He never deserved the treatment that he got. He never reviled. They would slap his face. They would spit on him. They put crowns of thorn on him. They mocked him. They teased him. They did everything they could to shame him. And it said he went like a lamb to the slaughter. What that means is he went without the fight. Because he said, if I fought, he says, what do you think? I couldn't get my legions of angels for coming here and fight for me. He could, at one like this, everybody gone. He could have done that. But he submitted and humbled himself. And it said this, he humbled himself unto the point of the death on the cross. Amazing. Somebody who did not deserve it paved the way and gave us an example on how we were to do these things. And not only did he do that, He gave us the opportunity to be able to do this ourselves, that we would be able to appreciate what he did. And sometimes I get so frustrated and I think to myself, "Ah, I don't deserve this." And then he got to come back and remind me, and he says, "Yes, you do." And when you do, and when you get the full magnitude of what I'm trying to do, then you will appreciate me. And so all of these things, good authority, medium authority, bad authority, they were all put there for a reason. It's easy to honor John Brisky because he's such a wonderful guy. It's easy to get along with him. It's easy to show him the respect. You know, I was talking to Daryl Castillo for like an hour outside of my shop on Friday, you know, just talking stories and all of these things. And we were talking about authority and these things. And I said, you know, it's easy. I was naming all these nice and wonderful police officers. Yeah, like, "Oh, this guy is cool. And this guy is cool. And this guy is cool." And he goes, "Oh, what about this guy?" You know, like one of the guys that know like me. Yeah, he goes, "Oh, what about this guy?" I said, "I like him now." He goes, "For real?" I said, "I like him now." He goes, "How come?" I said, "Because the Lord told me I have to." You know, it's amazing how the Lord can teach you these things. And you think that I got to go and do these things for the Lord. Like the Lord needs me to do these things for him. But what he's done through these little principles is he's made my life so much better, so much easier to deal with people, so much easier to be a member of society, so much easier to be able to function in society without being bitter. Because I look and I say, you know what, I honor this guy. I look at people with a different attitude now. I remember when we were young, we used to wave at firefighters. Yeah, everybody wave at the firefighter. Yeah, yeah, you tell him blow the horn. Now, I make it a point to wave to my police officers. I make it a point to wave to the paramedics. You know, because these guys are heroes. These guys are the guys that we call. These guys are the guys that put their life on the line every day when they put on the suit. And we also honor their families for sticking it out and stomaching the fact that they're going to work and it's not an easy job. So let's give a round of applause to the police officers and their families, please. What we'd like to do is, do we have any other police officers besides John present today? Lieutenant Brisky, you like come up. We're going to have him say on prayer. And I like you guys all, you know, stretch out your guys' hands. We're going to have John Brisky pray, not only for our police officers, but our paramedics, our firefighters, you know, all these guys who put their life on the line because we honor you and we respect you so much and we thank you so much. So let's bow our heads and...
This is another last-minute thing. He told me this when I walked in, so... He likes to do that. So, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the support shown here this morning for our first responders. Please give our first responders the strength, the knowledge, the wisdom to respond to every situation wisely. Please make sure that they are safe. Let them and their families find strength and comfort in your love and bring them home safely after their shift. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Thanks again. Thank you so much. You know, it's funny, yeah, because we stay in Pune, yeah, and we get a police officer here and we still get plenty of people in our church, yeah. And preachers. Okay, so what we like to do now is we're going to I go bring up Pastor Scott, and Pastor Scott go close the service. Let's welcome Pastor Scott, please.
Thank you. Ooh. Give a hand for Pastor Jaywin. Wow, what a powerful message. I couldn't have done it better myself because, I don't know, I never got caught, so. That was the only difference between you. You got caught, and I hit rock bottom before I got caught. But whew, thank God, yeah, I don't think I would have survived jail. I would have been, I don't know what would have happened to me. But, man, thank you, Lieutenant Brisky. We've been friends for many years. What a classy guy. He does his job with honor, great respect for people, great friend. Man, I love you. We've been good friends. And, you know, we just want to make sure that not just today, but every time you think of an officer, every time you pass an accident, pray for them, because of all the things that have been happening and they've been targeted, and, you know, they need our prayers and our support more than ever. And as a church in a community, that is our part. That is what we get to do for them. Amen? Well, let's pray. Lord, thank you so much that we, as a church, get to pray for our first responders, our officers, our firemen, our EMTs. And Lord, just keep them safe. And like Lieutenant Brisky said, bring them home at the end of this shift. Let them know that we love them, we support them, we honor them, and we pray for them. Thank you so much for this week. For this week was Police Officers Awareness Week, Appreciation Week, and we let that be known, and we honor them. We thank you so much. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, would you all stand when we're going to sing?
You've been listening to Pastor Jaywin Gonzalves of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Keau, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.